I really want to thank you for coming out, and I know that there's a lot going on in the world, and you could be anywhere right now on Christmas Eve, and you came here. Thank you for that. It means so much to me, and I didn't realize until the world ended in March that I really need people in the room, and it's hard to preach to a camera. And so everybody that's online, thank you for joining us. Can we put our hands together for everybody watching online? We got people in the room. You might be breaking some protocols, but it's all right. It's going to be all right. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I want to talk about a word tonight that I didn't quite understand most of my life. And it's what we've celebrated on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day since we were kids. We celebrate the arrival of God. We celebrate what the term, religious term, is, we know it as the incarnation. It's where God comes down and he makes his home with us. Jesus is he's the Word made flesh. It was more than just a baby. It was more than just, you know, there was so much more to the story, even though the night, if we could go back 2,000 years, they had no idea what was going on. They knew something was happening. They knew that this baby was special, but they didn't know that it was the Son of God. An incarnation, I thought, when I looked up the definition of that, I've always held that term for just Jesus. He was God in the flesh. But I want you to take a look at that last little word there, a person who embodies in the flesh, a God, spirit, or an abstract quality. An abstract quality. The greatest joy of my life right now is watching my son grow up. He's four, and today he got a harmonica. It was actually my brother's, but he opened it, and so I'm sorry, and now it's his. And because he just opened it up and he could play it. And I was like, you know, I knew I loved Bob Dylan. You know what I mean? I listened a lot of Bob Dylan as a kid, but maybe it made it into my son, you know. But he just picked it right up and started playing it. And I knew in that moment, he did not get that gift from me. Because I can't carry a tune in a bucket. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to hear me. You just got to hear me sing. Did you like that? Did you enjoy it? You can, yeah, okay. All right, well, I got one yeah back there. I paid her to say that. But I knew that gift did not come from me. That gift came from his mom. And what's beautiful to watch with Asa, and I know you've all watched this if you have children, is there's this stuff in them, these gifts that we didn't put there. You know, I'm always looking out for Asa. I always want to make sure he does the right thing. You know, there's a rule I try to live by. Don't let your kids do anything that would cause you to dislike them. Come on, somebody. And so I try to, and so I go around and say no all the time. No, you know. Okay. But that's where I'm at right now, and I'm noticing a lot about Asa, that there's things in Asa's life that nobody taught him. He just picks up on stuff. He ran up to me a couple days ago and said, "Dad, watch this. I can burp and fart at the same time." And at that moment, I knew. That did not come from her. Okay. My mom always told me I was gifted, you know what I'm saying? But it's amazing how these kids, and I get to watch, I love to surf, and there's these Groms, and there, a few of them are here tonight. We call Groms young surfers that are coming up in the pack kind of thing. And they just, when they get together and surf, you just got to give them the room. You know what I mean? Like, it's the energy just goes from 0 to 100 immediately. It turns into a full-blown professional surf contest. Like it's a competition now, but what happens is they make themselves better. They compete with one another. You put five or six kids together and they can play a game and understand everything about that game. A four-year-old, my son right now. But if I take him alone and ask him how to play that game, he won't be able to tell me. And scientists, and science, I think, proves scripture. they're finding that there's knowledge encoded on the DNA of human beings. There's things there that nobody taught them, nobody, you know, educated them on, but when they get together, they can teach each other things that they didn't know they had. It's pretty cool. And so this incarnation, this abstract qualities, sometimes we reserve that just for Jesus, but I think there's some incarnation that we see in our own lives. Because we're all made in the image of God. That's what makes you valuable. That's what makes you so incredibly worth what you're worth. And that's why I think every human being is worth something very valuable, regardless if they're a Christian or not. Because they're made in the image of God. And that's why there's divine code in your DNA. But Jesus was a little different. That's all he had in his DNA. He was fully man, but he was also fully God. He wasn't half man, and he wasn't half God. He was fully man, fully human, fully just like me and you, but he was also fully God. And what's amazing about life is I'm seeing that it's these small little things that God puts inside of us that become great big things as we grow up. And so I'm looking now for those things in Asa. Somebody asked me a few times, what are you going to do if Asa doesn't serve? I said, well, that's why I'm a pastor. That's why we have an altar up here. He can repent. You know what I'm saying? I'm kidding. No, I want Asa to be who God has intended for him to be. I think that's the beauty of Proverbs when it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. And so it's almost like the path is already laid out. My job is just to try to keep it clear for him and try to find those small little seeds of God that's inside of him, that heavenly DNA that I know, those gifts that every person that's listening to me right now, you have. God has placed it inside of you. Gifts that are so valuable that maybe, just maybe, that's why you've had the year that you've had. Maybe, just maybe, that's why darkness is fighting you the way that darkness has been fighting you. Scott Erickson, he said it like this: when people come into the world, they come in already made. And I think what he means by that is the oak is in the acorn. The oak is in the acorn. See, we pray for oak trees, but God answers in an acorn. And when we're born, when this child was born, let me tell you, there was an oak in the acorn. There was something great in that stable. There was something great in that manger. And when you were born, it was the exact same way. God put greatness inside of you. And it just takes time to develop. It takes time to grow. But that also lets me know that everything I need, God has put inside of me. Let that just sink in. Everything I need, all the people that have left you, all the people that have decided that they wanted to go, one of the greatest gifts, it's not in the Bible here, but one of the greatest gifts you can have is the gift of goodbye. Can I get an amen? And so God has put greatness inside of you. He's put it inside of you. And I don't have time to read the story, but in Matthew 2, the story that we're celebrating tonight, it's the arrival of this godchild. And the arrival of Jesus was marked by one of the amazing signs that we got to see just a few days ago. The planets literally like aligned, and the Magi were coming, and they knew that where Jesus would be based on reading the stars, and they were looking for these signs, and they knew exactly where to find him. But there's something in this story that I've never caught until now, and I wanted to share it, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the manger scene. Everybody seems to be happy. Every manger scene I've ever seen is happy, right? Yeah, we love putting up the manger scene, and like floating angels, donkeys, shepherds with their nice staffs, but everybody's smiling. Everybody's, you know, Jesus is normally in the middle, and it seems like a pretty, like it's a happy scene. But there was a guy that wasn't so happy about it, Herod, King Herod. And it said that when the Magi came and they came to King Herod and they told him what they were doing and who they were looking for, it disturbed him. That word disturbed, it says it's like an inner shaking. And you know the story. He sent out a decree, killed all the, just bloodshed because he was disturbed. And I'm finding in life that the people we connect with are so important. Herod never met Jesus. Herod really didn't know what Jesus looked like. He had no clue who to go and find. But when he heard that he was born, something in him just... And I think that we all have that in our lives. You know, that you remember the movie Sixth Sense? Don't watch it, please, if you're like afraid. But it was one of my favorite movies. I like it. It's like the scariest I can go with movies. But anyways, I think we have a sixth sense. I know my wife has got it. You can just feel it. My Uncle Dom, he would say he could tell a man's character by shaking his hand. And so there's parts of us in our life that we trust every day that's divine that we don't realize. Those gut feelings. It's amazing when we're developed in the womb, our brain and our gut are developed first, and they're a cluster of nerves together, and then they split apart. You've heard the saying, trust your gut. There's something to that. Herod was disturbed, and so he sent out looking for Jesus. But this is what I really want you to see tonight, because I think that we've all... How many of you went and looked at the star, the Christmas star? Everybody went outside. I thought it was pretty amazing. These Magi were looking for the same thing. But it's 2020, y'all. And if we follow that star, there's no baby in a manger. But this is what I'm finding in my life now, that the physical world is the doorway to the spiritual world. And that what we see oftentimes, there's things far greater behind these signs than what we realize. And even though we could have followed that star a few days ago, there was no baby under a manger, but I think it was a clear sign for a lot of us. I know it was for me. A sign of hope. A sign of joy. A sign of there's more. There's still more to the story. There's still something. I mean, that the year, we're not going to just roll over to 2020, 12, 59, or 1260. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is going to end. This chapter of life is going to come to a close at some point. And God's got something good right out in front of us. But when God wanted to save the world, I want you to just let this sit down inside of us. He sent a baby. Here we are, 2,000 years later. I don't think anybody in this room could tell me what battles were fought that year. Could you tell me what the top song was, if that was even in existence? I don't know. Probably not. I don't think they had, they didn't have all that stuff we got now. Didn't know if it was a hot year or a cold year. I don't know if my team won or not. But there was a baby born that year. I'm sure there were some battles going on that year. I'm sure there was some bloodshed that year. I'm sure there was some wars. I'm sure there was some pestilences and sicknesses and things like we're facing right now in 2020. I'm sure that there was all of that happening. But we're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about the arrival of hope. We're talking about your story and my story. We're talking about when we put our faith in this child that was born 2,000 years ago, that his story can become our story. That it doesn't end there. That there's more to it. This wasn't a normal baby by any means. But I want you to hear me tonight. Neither of you. Neither are you. Like, God has put some extremely valuable things inside of you. And I think that this year has been a really hard year for a lot of people. I know it has. I think that this year has been a heavy year for a lot of people. I think that this year has been a weighty year for a lot of people. And this story right here holds the antidote to whatever you're facing in your life right now. And so Jesus was born. But I want to read you a few verses, because I believe that if we could hear from him tonight, because we all look for that star, I'm sure we all look for that star, but the reality is a lot of us are looking at stables. You ever been to a stable? It's stinky. It's poop everywhere, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, I mean, it's not the five-star Hilton, you know, it's not Portofino, it's not first class. Come on, it's a stable. And I remember when the year started watching, I mean, I like to watch a lot of different pastors and teaching, but I remember I was even thinking it, 2020 is my year of clarity. You know what I'm saying? Like, 2020 is my year of vision. Come on, how many of you heard that? That 2020 is my year, or maybe you told, you know, this is going to be the year, and then we get a few months in, and it's like, whoa, maybe. Maybe 2021, I don't know. You know, but it's felt a lot like a stable. But even in stables, there's treasure. Even in stables, even in years like 2020, God has something good. And what I really want to do tonight, and what I really want to encourage all of us in, is I think the really at the heart of what Jesus came to bring is he came to bring light. He came to bring light. And in John 1, we know that he was the Word made flesh, but verse 2 says that in him was life. And this life was the light for men and women and people like me and you. And so if you've got any areas in your life tonight that feel dark, bring it to the light. If you got any areas in your life that you are just weighed down and you feel the weight of the world, bring it to the light. God is able to do so much in just a moment. I heard that this Matthew 2 actually was a story. Jesus wasn't a baby. I'm not going to say if he historically if that's correct or not. He may have been, some historians, 3 or 4. And so the imagery of a baby in a manger may not be 100% accurate. Please don't send me any emails or letters on that one. But this is what I do know. I believe if we could talk to him and if we were to show up at that stable, I think that this was his mission. This is what he came to do. And I just want to read these verses. This is really what I needed to share tonight, was these few verses, 3 verses, Isaiah 61. When Jesus he got a little older, he had to be between 30 and 33, he walked into the temple. And in that day, the temple was that was the ivory tower. They were the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They controlled organized religion on the planet for that day. That was just who had the keys to the kingdom at the time. And Jesus walked in, and it was his turn to read. And so he opens up the scroll. I think this is in Luke. I don't have the exact verse, but he just walks in and he opens up the scroll. And it just happens to be that day at church on Saturday, this would have been a Jewish synagogue, that they were in Isaiah 61. And so here's 30-something-year-old Jesus. He opens up, you know, he goes into the synagogue, and He opens up the scroll and he turns to Isaiah 61. Now keep in mind, all these people in the synagogue are looking for the person that Isaiah 61 is prophesying about. This is what Jesus says, speaking, fulfilling his own prophecy. This is why he came. He said, I've come because the Spirit of God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me. Jesus is saying this, to preach good news to the poor. He came for the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So he came for the poor. He came for the brokenhearted, okay? To proclaim freedom for the captives. He came for the captives. Release from darkness the prisoners. He came for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. I want you to get this one right here. To comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve. That's why he came. He came to give you something. Bestow onto them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And these people will be called oaks of righteousness in the house of our God. This may be a little different Christmas Eve service than you're used to, but I believe God wants to heal some people in this room that have been grieving. You've been in a lot of pain. 2020 has been a hard year, but not only has 2020 been a hard year, it's brought up several other hard years. And there's something so freeing when we give God our past, when we can grieve our losses, when we can look at our stable, because everybody's got a stable. A stage of life where you don't quite understand what's going on. A stage of life where if you could get out of it, you would. A stage of life where I thought I would find God here. I followed a star, but I'm looking at a stable. Try this. Let's try singing it. Sometimes it just hits a little different when you sing it. Let's try that. Can you sing that with me? Beauty for ashes.
Beauty for ashes.
Come on.
Joy for mourning. Praise for heaviness.
Come on. It's the same thing over and over. Lift your voice, say it. Let's stand together. Come on, sing it tonight. Beauty for ashes. Let's sing it one more time. Come on, just try it. Lift your voice and tell Him, beauty for ashes.
Beauty for ashes. Joy for mourning. Praise for heaviness.
One more time, beauty for ashes. Come on. Got a candle. If you turn it to the right, it turns on. We got some fancy electric ones. We got the real fire out there, I believe. God wants to give you beauty for your ashes. God wants to take your mess and pain and all the stuff that we try to hide and we don't want nobody to know about. It's that stuff that oftentimes God will turn into something incredible. It's old Japanese custom when a vase would break, they would solder it back together with gold. So the more broken a vase was, the more valuable it would become. So what I want to tell you is don't run from your darkness, but get your light out and run to it. And let God heal those things. Let God go back to those places in your life that they're painful. But I'm telling you, there's a miracle there. There's an incarnation there. There's a resurrection there, if you're willing to go. But you don't go alone. You got the light of the world with you. Let's sing that. It's like I'm living for the first time. Let's sing that.
It's like I'm living for the first time.
Come on, lift that candle up.
It's like I'm living for the first time.
Come on. I'm living for the first time. Come on, let's sing it. You can take a seat. It's a little different when you sing it, huh? Nobody? Can y'all talk? Am I scaring y'all a little bit? It's okay. You can relax. My name's Nathan. I'm your friend. I promise. I think a lot of you in this room are about to enter into a new season of your life. A much better season, a much brighter season. I believe that with all my heart. And I know you've been through a lot, and you hide it well, because you all look real good tonight. But 2021 is going to be different. I think it's going to be different because of this right here. You've got the tools you need. You're not in this alone. You're not facing this by yourself. You've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother, who's by your side every moment, who will never leave you or forsake you. Everybody can walk out in your life, but you've got someone who will always be there with you through the pain, through the heartache, on the mountain and in the valley. This light will shine. So I want us to pray just for a moment, if you'd bow your heads. Father, we come to you. We open our hearts. Every part of our heart. And we ask for your light to go in. Because we know how the story ends. We know that as the world gets darker, this light of ours will shine brighter. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd meet us right here in this moment. Incarnation, God in the flesh, in this moment. And bring our joy back. Some of you haven't smiled or laughed in a while. You need some joy. Bring our peace back. You haven't been able to sleep in months. You've tried and tried different things. You just need some peace. Some of you, you're tired tonight. You're tired. You're thinking about work next week. You're thinking about ending the year. And just rest for a moment. This might be the only moment you get to sit in stillness, so enjoy it. No, I'm just kidding. Lord, we just thank you. We know that you're here. You're in this place, Lord. You're with us. You said if two or three are together. And Lord, we thank you that we see that light tonight. We look for the star. Our life looks a little more like a stable, but we know that you're still there. And we know that that's not the end of the story. That we're in an infinite game here. We're in a life that keeps going because we came from eternity and we're heading back to eternity and we're just in the middle. And so walk with us, Lord, as we walk through this life and we head back home to where we came from. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.